Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is the Who Am I Pod. We are your hosts, King CJ, Kevin Ren. King, how you doing?
Bruh, you know what's funny?
What's up?
You ever like try to get back in shape and try to start doing the stuff that you was doing when you was in shape, and then your body shut down on you?
Yeah, for a while now. The weight don't seem to come off like when I was 22.
Bruh, I got all that. Man, let me just run a quick 4 miles real quick. You know what I mean? I just got back from Vegas. You know what I mean? Let me just hop out there, you know, run, no stretch. Bro, I must have caught the meanest cramp. I about died.
I always start thinking like, I'm going to do 2. And I'm like, a smooth 1.7 will get the job done.
Yeah. That's all we got. It's our pat. Your body start patting down your pockets for you. Like, yeah, that's all we got, brother. Like, yeah.
1.7. Go down to the bench, try to put 245, like a smooth 230 will probably do it.
Yeah, I ain't got no more of those.
Smooth 230 might just do it just fine. But yeah, man, so we back. We got a lot of music to talk about. We're going to actually talk about some sports today. I'm pretty excited about that. And then we got a little bit of beef we're going to get into here shortly. So I got quite a bit of albums just because it's been 2 weeks. So we're going to start out with some singles, though. Mine's I'm gonna start out with is Just For Me, St. John and SZA, that came out about a week ago. So this is a Space Jam single, so I understand that now in hindsight, but when I first seen it, I thought that it was, you know, St. John and SZA, that seems like a match made in heaven to me. It seems like the vibe would have been a little bit different, and I heard it, and I'm like, this is what we going for, and then I had to relapse. I had to go back and see, like, okay, this ain't what I thought it was. It's a Space Jam song, still decent song. I mean, they sound decent on there, but you would expect some type of R&B melodic kind of slow deep sounds, and it was kind of upbeat, and it makes sense now. But only real reason I wanted to mention is because if this is like some of the artists that we're going to get on the Space Jam soundtrack, which I haven't heard in its entirety, I don't know if it's out yet. But I'm pretty excited for it. I'm pretty excited to see what we get from the Space Jam soundtrack. I'm pretty excited for the movie. So, that's Just For Me, St. John and SZA.
Nah, I haven't heard that one, but did you hear the Lil Baby Kurt Franklin song?
Mm-mm.
We Win? Man. Bruh.
Good one.
That's a combination. Like, I didn't know I needed that collaboration. Yeah. With Lil Baby and a whole choir and Kurt Franklin preaching on it. Like, that's probably the best song I heard off there so far. But I got to check out this one too. I'm going to keep it kind of in the St. John lane. My first single I'm going to talk about is Don Toliver featuring Kali Uchis with Drugs and Hella Melodies. I've been on the Don Toliver wave for a while now. I've been singing his praises for a while. I just feel like his sound is very unique, sort of like the St. John's out there. They just do a little bit of rapping, a little bit of singing, but it all sounds good nonetheless. I feel like the makings of a future star is when you have an original sound, like to where you know what you're going to get when you listen to this artist. And I think that shines through when they start to collaborate with people that you know, or they start to collaborate with people that are already in the industry. And when he did this collaboration, it was dope to see Kali Uchis sing like Don Oliver, you know what I mean? Don Toliver, excuse me. And it was just like because she came on this track first and she was singing, I was like, oh yeah, I could tell this is a Don track. Like, and then he came through with the melody too. Obviously she sounded better, but it just showed me that he is kind of putting his flag in the game. He is kind of here to stay because he has his own original sound. And I think that is dope. The growth of him is only leads to better music. And I think it's dope because, you know, this is Travis Scott artist. So I really think that, or I want Travis Scott to be a successful entrepreneur as well as artist. So this is just dope to see somebody come from under that tree and be successful. So again, that's Don Toliver featuring Kali Uchis with Drugs and Hella Melodies. It's a good track.
Dope. I'm going to go straight to Scat, Tory Lanez featuring the Baby. Good song, honestly. Like, it's just a good song. They both were spitting on there. I like... one thing that's underrated about Tory Lanez, and it's not much because I think most people know that, you know, Tory Lanez pen, Tory Lanez ability to make a song, Tory Lanez ability to make a hook, and, all the features that he typically has on his albums. One thing that's underrated is his visuals, the actual music videos. I'm not sure who's doing these music videos. I'm not sure who's producing these things, but they tend to be great. Like, and this one was really, really good. Like, enough to make me usually see him post actual clips on his Instagram, and they make me go want to watch the video. Like, I'm seeing the baby get arrested, and I'm seeing him in the Michael Jackson Thriller. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, let me go ahead and watch this. Like, what's going on in this shit? So it's really good. It's a really good song. I think Tory Lanez was snapping on this one. The hook was great. The baby kind of gave us a different, like, little flow going. A really good song, but it led to some type of controversy that we'll go ahead and talk about a little bit later. So just stay tuned for that.
Yeah, like you said, like you mentioned, he previewed some of these visuals like back in the day, you know, back in the hay of the whole controversy. So it's interesting that this song actually came out. So we'll talk about that later, but a good track. You know, it's hard. Yeah. It's easier to find on YouTube because he's still being blackballed by all of the streaming services. So it's like you have to search for it in order to see it. But it's a good track if you want to look that up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with my second single is My Guy, My Dog, Vince Staples. He dropped a song called Law of Averages. It's his first single off his upcoming self-titled album. It's produced by Kenny Beats. I mentioned him here before. He's one of the producers that live streams on Twitch that I watch almost, I think, twice, three times a week, where sometimes he cooks up, sometimes he does beat battles, sometimes he just collaborates, but super dope, super influential beat maker on Twitch. He's doing a whole Vince Staples album, so I'm excited to hear that. But Vince Staples, like, he has bars, bro. Like, on top of being just a hilarious person, a good personality, just being like certified where he's from, like, he has bars. Even though he isn't consider himself like one of the rappers, like, he has bars. Like he said, but Lil Wayne Carter, what I call my 38, kiss your baby in the face if you play with where I stay. Like, just that wordplay. And then he says it so calm and so nonchalant. And it's like, whoa, is he snapping right now? Like, this is crazy. So shout out to Vince Staples. Shout out to Kenny Beats. I'm looking forward to this album. But this song, Law of Averages, dope, dope track.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see what we got next. I'm going to go ahead and start my albums. My album to start with is Back of My Mind, Her. So I've listened to about probably like 70% of this album. I didn't make it through just a few on the back end. But I wasn't overly impressed. I'm not sure if King's heard it, so I'll let y'all get his take. Maybe I listened to it a little bit too fast. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood. I listened to it last night after coming home from some drinks and stuff. But I thought that might be the vibe, but it just really wasn't. It wasn't hidden like I thought it would. Like, the features are really good. I like the Cordae. I like the Lil Baby. Chris Brown is actually on here. There's some good features on here, but when it comes to women's R&B, when the bar is already as high as it is, it's really hard to come with something that seems underwhelming. And she managed to do that. You know what I mean? Like, she already gets a kind of bump in my head knowing that it's women's R&B, and maybe because of that, you know, like I said, we always talk about expectations. Maybe because of that expectation, it seemed a little bit underwhelming to me. But I don't really recall a song or two or three that I just like, okay, this is immediate. Like, I need to hear this again. Let me restart it. Let me play it again. Let me add it to a playlist. There was none of that really within the first about 15 tracks. So it just felt a little bit underwhelming to me. That doesn't mean that it's bad. Maybe I need to hear it again. And maybe once I finish the album and get a chance to sit with it, I'll come back and I'll let y'all know. Cause I don't want to not like this. I want it to be great. So stay tuned. Maybe I'll come back, you know, and it might be the greatest album ever. I don't foresee that happening, but at this point, it wasn't very impressive.
See, I think you mentioned something, that's key. Two key things that I think that's key for what we do here. One, this is recorded right after things drop, so we get like our instant reaction, but that doesn't take into account like albums that grow on us or, you know, things that we may miss that we catch up a little bit later. And another thing is expectations. how we expect something to sound or how we expect if something is going to be good or not can greatly influence how we view a project. And I'm on the exact opposite. So I've always liked her. I knew she was talented here and there, but I never liked her projects. I've always been like, all right, this is cool. But like, I like her song by song. And then she does so much. It's like one time she'll give you a song like Damage. And then the next time she'll give you like a Bob Marley, like reggae song. And it's like, all right, what are we doing here? So I walked into this album not expecting anything good, expecting it to be all over the place, not really thinking that it's going to be, you know, one of those ones. And I was pleasantly surprised. I can see the criticism. I can see, you know, comparing it to some of the great R&B that has already come out. Like when you hold it to that standard, then I understand why somebody could be let down by this. But if you're just looking at it from an outside perspective, I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know what I'm looking at. This is a pretty good album. I feel like her does a great job of covering a lot of bases. Like she can kind of talk heavy and get on a song with Lil Baby, even though she sounds a lot like Dej Loaf, to the point where I had to like look up. I was like, is this her Dej Loaf and Lil Baby, or this is just her? Like she really took Dej Loaf trap. Whenever she get with a rapper, like if you listen to it, she sounds just like Dej Loaf. So 100%. Other than that, it was a good song. Like you said, the features was great. Cordae went in, spazzed. Hit Boy produced that song. She had a couple of remakes. She had a song called Hard to Love that was, I think it's Hard to Love. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, where she flipped the old Lauryn Hill song. And she actually had a song called Closer to Me when she flipped one of Drake's first songs that I ever heard on his, what's it called? Comeback Season mixtape. Drake had a song called Closer to My Dream back when he was like really rapping, back before he signed with Young Money on that Comeback Season mixtape. And he had a song called Closer to My Dreams, and she actually flipped that song on this track called Closer to Me. And just hearing that, I was like, wait, this sounds familiar. And then she started singing the hook. I'm like, oh, this is Drake. This is the old Drake song. So like stuff like that is the little subtleties. Just like, oh, I respect her craft. I respect her to, you know, her musical talent and her musical ear to go back and listen to those things. So again, if you're expecting a, you know, Kiana Lede of last year, a Sa'ari the Kid, you know, of this year, then it's not going to live up to those expectations. But if you just like, hey, some R&B, like we've been saying, R&B has not missed a week. This is one of those weeks where this is a good album to listen to. I don't regret that I listened to it.
We'll see, man. Like I said, the expectations is what it was, what probably got me. So, you know, maybe she needed to change her pronouns to them. They, it might work out a little bit better for her.
Well, she chose the pronoun of her. You know what I'm saying? She let us know.
That's too basic, bro. You got to hit them with the remix, dog. You got to hit them with the name, man.
She got to identify as a jellyfish.
Yeah. A unicorn, goddamn.
Gotta switch it up, bro. Her, that's old. I would say that's
you never know. You never know. Her is too basic, man. Like, you gotta hit them with the
I don't even know what to call a unicorn. I got one more single though. This is Tyler the Creator with Lumberjack. I've been on a huge Tyler the Creator kick, and I think it's because I didn't like him when he first came out. I always thought he was like immature and like the stuff he was doing, but I always knew what he was doing because he was always making boss moves. Like whether that be starting his own festival, whether that be having his own show on Adult Swim, whether that just be to talk about a controversy, him, just his group has always been a boss, and like his own clothing line. And I don't know, like I never really gave it his proper respect, but I think after his 2017 album that was Grammy nominated, I think it was called Flower Boy, I really started to tune in. And then coming off of his last album, Igor, which actually won a Grammy, he's like staying on schedule. I think he releases an album every 2 years, like on schedule. So he's right back on schedule, not slowing down. This first track, he actually has DJ Drama like commenting and talking over it like an old Gangsta Grillz mixtape, which is crazy to hear like Tyler the Creator rapping, DJ Drama on it, coming off of like a weird, you know, album like Igor, to where people were mad that it won a Grammy for best hip hop album because even he didn't consider it a hip hop album. And he actually addresses that. Like he said, he took the yellow bitch home and put it on the shelf to let it ventilate. He bought a new car because he didn't know how to celebrate, and people was big mad. And he talked about buying a new Rolls Royce, which is ironic because if you remember when he dropped, he got the number one spot over DJ Khaled. And DJ Khaled was sitting in the back of the Rolls Royce hating like, yo, my songs is for people that's outside. This ain't for no weirdo music. You know what I'm saying? You go outside, you hear my music. And it's like, people be hating on Tyler. You know what I mean? He be weird. He be doing stuff, but the results show. So for him to come back out on some stuff like that and then to bring out situations like he paid Drake $1 million just for Drake to come on stage and get booed off stage. Like who boos Drake off stage? You know what I mean? But they was expecting Frank Ocean. So like to have those situations come up in the playoff though and just like show the wordplay, like yes, he is an artist, but he can still rap. And having this and having the DJ drama, it shows that he's ever evolving as an artist. And I'm just excited to hear what the next project sounds like. So that's Tyler, the Creator, Lumberjack. Good track.
Yeah, man. I still have yet to get into Tyler, the Creator, so I guess it's just not going to come.
Yeah. It's not for everybody. But it's not
for everybody. I guess we'll never know.
Sound like DJ Khaled right now.
All right, my next one. So, like I said, expectations. We go. This is one that worked in the favor of one of these artists. So, Hall of Fame, Polo G. So, listen, I'll be completely honest. I don't know if I had a Polo song on my phone in its entirety of my probably several thousand songs that I got on my Apple Music. Like, I don't think I have a song with him. I might have a feature or something like that, or maybe something that I, you know, heard off of TikTok or something like that. But I don't think I've ever, you know, actually listened to a full project from him, let alone have any songs and say I'm a fan. So going into this, I have no expectations at all. I'm just going in because I'm like, hey, man, this dude's big on TikTok. He's big on social media. There's a lot of, you know, younger folks saying like he the one. So let me go ahead and listen to it. And it didn't take long. It didn't take long for me to realize, okay, I can see why someone would like this dude. I can see why. By the end of the album, though, I'm like, okay, I'll actually like this dude now. I'm like, okay, this dude, he can rap. He got a little melodic sound that he can do. His beats is well chosen. He got some very good features, even the Nicki Minaj feature on here that kind of really surprised me. He got a Young Thug feature. He has a DaBaby on here. Roddy Ricch is on here. So there's a lot of good features on here as well. So he's well connected within the game. That's always a plus. So overall, I mean, this is a solid album. I mean, it kind of got drowned out a little bit because Culture 3 came out at the same week. So you kind of, you know, picking your battles a little bit, a little odd right there. If it came out this week, it might have did a little bit better. Not sure what it's selling, but I know he does have a pretty big fan base. So yeah, I'm really rocking with this. When I hear artists like this, I'm confused as to where, and I don't want to bring this up because it's going to sound like shade, but I'm kind of confused as to where the NBA YoungBoy crowd like really stems from. Because to me, it's like there's a lot of street rappers doing it at a higher level, you know? So I don't really understand why you would go there when there's people like this. But who am I? You know, I guess we'll never know. So, like, it is what it is. But Polo G, there's a lot of standouts. My favorite song on here, though, surprisingly, is really short. But number seven, Boom. I really like that. That really gets me, you know, it's a nice little running track, nice little workout track if you ever want to do something like that. So, also kind of, I actually really like the Nicki Minaj song as well. So, you know, whatever floats your boat, there's a lot of different vibes on this album. And it's not that long. I think it's only 54 minutes. So, it keeps into that under hour. That's really where I'm at. I know we always talk about how we like the 30-minute ones, but really under an hour is pretty much where I think most artists should want to stay. So good album, though. Hall of Fame, Polo G.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this album. And like you said, I've been in tune with it just because like I teach a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. So it's when you teach, you know, 18, 19-year-olds, like you kind of want to connect with them. You kind of want to know what they interested in so that you can have a good lesson, you know, you don't want to be the old dude sitting up there teaching. So I always ask them what they're listening to. And for like the past year and a half, it's been like Polo G, Polo G, Polo G and NBA YoungBoy. I gave NBA YoungBoy my best shot. I just can't do it. And I've accepted that about my life, you know, but Polo G, he actually had a lot of good songs and he actually does rap. Like, I think I got tuned on to him when he rapped over the Tupac "That's Just the Way It Is" beat for his last project, The GOAT. I was like, oh, okay. He, one, that's bold for you to step up and take on that challenge. And two, you kind of held your own. So that's dope. And like you said, he's going viral on social media and all of that. And it's crazy because he actually did outsell Culture 3. He moved 146,000 and Migos moved 138. So that just show you that he is like he is now right now. So it's pretty dope to see. But I think that this is a great project. Like you said, I love the track Boom. And I actually like the track with Lil Wayne right before it.
Oh, yeah.
Gang Gang. And he even said it like, yo, Lil Wayne got the best of me and I want my rematch. Like, that's the first one I'm going to admit. Like, somebody actually got me and Lil Wayne was going. So shout out to Polo G for getting that out of him. But again, shout out to him for getting Lil Baby, or it's Da Baby, right? Get Da Baby, Lil Durk. Nicki Minaj, all those good features, and just making good music. So we're at a time right now, and we'll talk about this when we get into the sports. Like, this is a transition era. We're going from the old giants and they kind of getting old, and the new people are stepping up. And I think Polo G, if he keeps on with this trajectory, he could be one of them ones that can carry the torch for the next couple years, along with Lil Baby, along with Lil Durk, if he keeps up at this rate. So that's a good project.
Cool.
Speaking of old people.
Okay, I was about to say, go ahead.
Yeah, speaking of old people, I got an old man album just because I'm an old hip-hop dude. I like bars. So this one is Ransom with 7. Duly titled, it's only 7 songs, 23 minutes. Super, super short, but this is just all bars. Like, I think Ransom is in that lane of Griselda, Freddie Gibbs, but I honestly like his projects because they're all short and it's just... you know exactly what you're going to get. It's just top tier street rap. And it's kind of like old Benny, to where it's like, okay, I like the beats, I like the bars, and it just, you feel connected to the street. Like, he isn't too far removed. He isn't too successful to where it just doesn't come off as authentic. He has great features on there. He has Lloyd Banks on there going bar for bar, Royce da 5'9" going bar for bar. He actually has a song called Wrath, and he's just breaking it down. He said, on the street, you couldn't work for McDonald's. That shit beneath you. But in prison, you mopped a tear for a dollar. This shit is lethal. Just talking about the paradigm of like, okay, you can't do what's legal on the street because that's beneath you. You want to play this game. But once you get locked up, you have to do that for a fraction of the price. And just that mentality, that's what I like about these type of artists. It's not just glorifying the street life. It's talking about the consequences and talking about the reality of it. And for bars like that, it's just top tier. And I love that this lane exists, and I love for people like Ransom to get they just do. So that's Ransom with 7, super short project, but it's a super dope one.
Yeah, yeah. Dope. All right, so I got Sorry Not Sorry by Sorry the Kid. Only 7 songs, super short. It really is difficult to follow up, especially when you got such a great album. We just talked about it. We had it, me and King, he had it at his second of the year so far. I think I had it kind of 1-2 A and B. We talked about that last week. If you didn't hear our last week, so we did a wrap up of the first 6 months of music. So go listen to that if you haven't already. But for this one, it's surprising that he actually dropped, since we gave him so much praise in the last week's episode. So, this one is a step down from what we heard on the album earlier this year, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot more of him rapping on this one, which surprisingly actually did sound really good. I thought there was a lot of good songs on here. One of the highlights that King actually sent last night was Lucky Number 7 again, which is Automatic with Young Dolph. Young Dolph was spazzing, for one. Was it Young Dro?
Yeah, Young Dro.
Wow, I thought it was Young Dolph the whole time. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's Young Dro?
Yes, bro.
That's shocking. Wow, okay. Well, even better, because it didn't sound like Young Dolph at all. Even better. It makes more sense now. But he was snapping, though. But he was really snapping, though. He was really snapping. That's a good song, good beat. And I don't know when the last time I heard from Young Dro, but that shit was going hard. So that's just one of the highlights. The only problem with this one, there's a couple out of the 7, there's about 2 that I was just like, I don't like these songs at all. I'm not gonna point them out because I want people to go ahead and listen to them. Maybe they'll see. I don't know. I'm sure you heard the whole track, so maybe you got the same criticisms, but we'll see. But yeah, that's Sorry the Kid with Sorry Not Sorry. Again, good album, just not great.
Yeah, so like Kevo said, he released probably our favorite R&B project of the year. So he's already cemented in that lane. But he does typically release at least two albums, at least one rapping, at least one singing. But he has the tendency of doing more, just depending on how the year goes. And I anticipate him, it's already halfway through the year and we got two albums from him. It's probably going to be some more music coming. So shout out to him for that work ethic. But like you said, this is a step down. My preference, I like his R&B better. It's kind of like Tory Lanez. It's like, yeah, you could do both, but I like the R&B better. That's where I think he shines. But I feel like him making such an incredible R&B project has upped his pen to where I really like his rap album. Whereas though before, I might like one to two songs, where this one is like, it's a pretty good album. Like, it's not nothing great. It's not in my top five or anything like that. But again, it's kind of like the Her one. Like, I'm not mad I listened to it. I actually enjoyed it. And like you mentioned, I think the two best songs on here are Agree to Agree and Automatic, and they both feature Young Dro. And like you said, like, who, to the point where you got the song, you didn't even think of Young Dro as a possibility. It was like, oh, Young, and you saw Dave's probably Young Dolph. All right, bet. Yep, exactly. Like, when's the last time you heard of Young Dro? You know what I'm saying? Shoulder lane, hit that. Goddamn hell.
That's what I'm saying, dog. The shoulder lane?
Or fuck that bitch. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
yeah. Oh,
hey, Joe got hit.
I forgot he had that one. Wow, I forgot he had that one.
Yeah, so, but he was snapping. Like, this wasn't no, like, catchy. Like, he was actually rapping. So, I applaud him, and I applaud Sa'ari the Kid for actually linking up and getting these songs on there. Because I think on Agree to Agree, he had a crazy bar that said, I'm from a hood that's so dark, fuck around and do the silhouette challenge. I was like, okay, bro, like, this ain't Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week right now. Okay, this is something different. So, shout out to him, man. The wordplay is definitely stepping up. I think that's because of his R&B and him, like I mentioned with R&B, just that ability to tap into something real and express that. I feel like he's bringing that over to his rap project. And again, not one of the best, but I'm definitely glad I listened to it. And there's a lot of good songs on there if you want to give it a listen.
Hell yeah. I mean, he said he got bucks like DiVincenzo. Don't nobody know what that is, but I know he be watching basketball. I know he had to think about that one a little bit. Damn. He didn't go to the Antetokounmpo. He went with the DiVincenzo. So.
Hey, bro. I'm saying the bars is there. Bars is there.
All right. I think we sold on the last one. We got the same last one.
Coach. Yeah. Yo, okay. Migo.
All right, well, the big one, Culture 3, 19 songs, hour and 15 minutes, just a little bit above what I like it to be at, but still no problem with me. So here's my critique, and it's going to be kind of obvious. If this was about 13, 14 songs, it would be a lot better. It'd be a lot better. There was a lot that could have not, maybe not a lot. Cause I mean, that would have to take off about six songs. But I think they would have been good with that. I think they would have been fine with just taking off like six songs because it really, to me, started crazy. Even though it was a couple songs that we already heard, but it really started crazy, especially with Drake on that second one, really just carrying that. That really sounded like his song, really. And Drake got they got a good rapport with each other. Like Drake, he never gets too rappity rappity on they songs. He just make you bob your head. It's on the beat. He's just flowing on there. He just talking to you. Like he got a good way of introducing those songs and Migos coming in right after, and it all flows very well together. So that's obviously one of the highlights of the album. But Avalanche Straighten, there is the type shit. I don't want to keep it with the Cardi slander, but here we are again. That's all I got to say about that one. And then Polo G. So it did start out really, really strong. Like it did start out to me really, really strong. But as you go on, as kind of per usual with Amigos album, it starts to blend together in a way that makes it a little bit hard to decipher what songs you liked and what songs you didn't. Like, I don't know after probably like 15, I can't really. Probably even earlier than that, maybe like 13, because that's when the Juice WRLD came out. That was the last one that was really distinctive to me. all the other ones just seem kind of generic. Like maybe even the stowaways, like they probably could have took a couple of those off. I could have dealt without the Justin Bieber joint. There was a couple that I could have dealt without, especially for culture, especially for your biggest. I mean, this is your biggest like brand, if you would. It's the culture series. Like, just make it. Just take all these stowaway songs that we don't really need. Just take them out. We don't really need those. And that's what I think that probably could have happened. I still think it has a good album. It's something that I definitely play, especially those first like five, like 1 to 7, without the Cardi one, of course. And then I just let those play. Those are all in my playlist, but I really, really like, the Drake song. Like, I really like the Drake song. I think he was really spazzing on that. It really sound good, but. To each his own on this one. I just think that if a couple less would have been more.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I hate to get this type of energy just coming off of Juneteenth, but their former manager, Lior Cohen, who is like historically either loved or hated in the music industry, he was the one that executive produced the first Culture, which everybody can agree, like, that was a classic. Like, every song on there was just a hit. It was hit after hit after hit. But I think on there, let me check just to make sure I'm not lying. I don't think that had that many songs. I think Culture, the first one, you had 13 songs. And everyone on there just was classic. And then he actually attributed the success of Culture with his ability to be like, all right, this one isn't going on here. And every song that will go on there is going to be fire. And once they got with 300, after that, Culture 2, that had... what, 24 songs. Now this one has what, 19, and then they just released a deluxe with I think 5 more songs, so you got another 24 song album. So it's just, it doesn't need to be that way. The formula is already set. Culture One is their certified classic. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have that many songs, and like you said, if you were just to trim the fat, this could be an amazing album. This could be a great project because there are great songs on here, and it kind of reminds you that the Migos really are legends in the game. They really did. Like, oh, I yeah. talked about when I first started, having your own unique sound is the making of a legend, the making of a great. And they definitely came in, changed the game with their rhyme scheme, with the beat choices. And this is one of the first, but not, I think one of the, like, the early, like, Drake features will make or break your career. And, you know, Drake getting on that Versace sent them to the moon. Not saying that they weren't buzzing before, but that Versace verse actually sent them to the moon. And they're one of the people that actually took that and then established a career afterwards. So we do got to give them the flowers. I do appreciate the Breakfast Club, their interview with them. And it was literally like celebrating their legacy, giving them the flowers, telling them that they appreciate it. So I feel like it's dope to see that. But if they want to kind of recapture that moment, I think that they need to kind of trim down these albums, because 19, 24, 30 songs for this sound is just too saturated. When we got so much music out there, less is more, especially for a sound that gets kind of old really fast.
Yeah, the formula hasn't changed since that Versace song. Like, the bars changed, the beats have changed, the flows have changed a little bit, but the formula is still the same. They kind of sound the same as they did, which isn't a bad thing because it's been working for them for so long, and they really got, they have a huge fan base. All three of them tried their solo things. It went, you know what I mean? They didn't explode into something, you know, but they all got to show their talents on a one-on-one basis. And now they come back and, you know, and to do this. And I, like I said, it's good. It's a good album. It just, again, I don't know. I guess it's a streaming thing. I guess it's a more songs, the more, you know, people going to listen to it. I don't know. I don't see fans as far as music fans, especially as far as like true hip hop fans. I don't see a lot of people. I don't talk to a lot of people that say, I'd rather you have 20 something songs. I'd rather you have 30 songs. I'd rather your album be an hour and 30 minutes. Like, I think the consensus is that we want shorter albums. We enjoy the shorter albums more. I don't know why you wouldn't just give that. It costs you nothing. And in fact, it costs you less time. I don't really understand it, but you know, who am I?
Yeah. Excuse me. They said in there that they sitting on, I think, like 400 plus songs. So I imagine Yeah.
Like not drop them. I mean, like go to your thing, drop them in the empty folder, that little folder on the Mac. Go ahead and drop them in there and delete them hoes. We don't need those. 400.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's as somebody that made music on a very, very low level, like every piece that you create, every song, every verse that you write, you connect it to. So it's kind of easy to say like, hey, man, throw that away or whatever. But, you know, I'm sure each song, like either it might be Quavo love this song or he love that verse, or maybe Offset love this song, he love that verse, Takeoff same. But collectively, they got to come together and have somebody that's objective. Again, like the Leor, again, I hate to had his energy coming off of Juneteenth, but when you write, no matter what your skin color is. The classic formula for them is less songs, more hits. And I think there's a lot of hits sprinkled in here, but way too many songs that kind of drowned that out, I believe. And more streams, more sales. They got beat by Polo G, so it ain't working out well. So, you know what I'm saying?
Let's, yeah. Sons and four. Polo and four.
Get this dude, bro.
Alright, let's go ahead and move on. Do you want to introduce this one?
Which way are we going? We stay in music or are we going the Sons of Four?
We're going to go to the...
okay. Yeah, so... So like Kevo previously talked about, Tory Lanez just released a song titled Scat. And again, it was featuring DaBaby, which is highly controversial if you've been following any of the Tory Lanez drama, because again, he still stands accused of shooting Meg Thee Stallion, and DaBaby is a frequent collaborator of Meg Thee Stallion, to the point where Tory Lanez last year, he actually teased this song in his video on his Instagram, and everybody went crazy. It was like, yo, how can DaBaby co-sign this? How can he do this? What's going on? And then Meg quickly hopped on social media and was like, hey, there's some goofy stuff. Like, I bet that wasn't clear. He's not going to be able to release it. Like, DaBaby ride with me, basically. And the song wasn't released. So I felt like, okay, the song is never coming out. But to many people's surprise, including myself, not only did he drop the song, but he also dropped the video, as Kevo stated. And that means somebody in DaBaby's camp cleared it. Doesn't necessarily mean he did, but somebody in his camp cleared the song to be released, or else Tory Lanez will be facing legal action. So it did get released, and to the point where DaBaby claims his account retweeted a tweet saying that I guess DaBaby and Tory Lanez cool now because they both shot somebody and didn't have to do jail time. But he actually went on there and was like, yo, I don't know what type of Illuminati stuff this is, but I didn't retweet it and I can't untweet it. So the only way for him to remove it was to block the person. But he was actually on there showing like, yo, I didn't do this, but I'm trying to undo it, but I can't. But that led to a whole string of things happening, and led to Meg Thee Stallion herself actually coming up and, you know, saying her piece about it. So we'll get into actually what actually was said. But I think it's just a very interesting thing, kind of how the tables were turned, because just last year they were defending each other and they were, you know, against Tory. But now the song came out with DaBaby and it kind of seems like everything has changed. So what you think about it?
I think it's business. I just think that's what it is. We'll get into the kind of hypocrite type of behavior that we got from Meg Thee Stallion when this actually happened. Cause, as you know, as the internet will do, they started pulling some stuff about Meg Thee Stallion where she was saying how it's just business and their relationship shouldn't affect me. This is in regards to, Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. So, We've seen that same behavior from her, and we'll get into that a little bit more in detail. But I think this is just business. I can see why Meg Thee Stallion would be upset that he would release a song, especially because DaBaby and Megan have a lot of songs together. They pretty much every album, every big album that she got, DaBaby is on there. So I can see why, you know, she would be upset. They seem like they probably are good friends, maybe were now. I don't know what their actual relationship is like. But I don't think any of that's gonna stop DaBaby from getting money. Like, I don't think any relationship that he got is gonna stop him from releasing a song that he thinks is good, nor releasing a video that we just said was great. So I don't really see the real issue here. I can understand why, but I don't think men think that way. Like I just don't, maybe. Is there, I can't think of a time where there was somebody that I didn't like or King didn't like, but you know, if he hung out with him, or I wouldn't feel any type of way if he went and did a pod with somebody that I'm like, I don't really like that dude, I wouldn't take it no personally. I would just say, you know, if you want to go do a pod with dude, do a pod with dude. You know, it just wouldn't come at me that way. So now this is obviously a little bit more serious. You're talking about some allegations that are still ongoing. Let's keep that in frame. Those allegations are still yet to be resolved, whether it was he did it or not. Some people would seem to make up their mind either way on social media, but that's not fact. So we don't really know. But overall, I just think it's a little petty. Because if y'all were that, like, if y'all had that big of a relationship, that good relationship, then why you just didn't hit him? Why, you know what I mean? Why you just didn't hit him on the side? Like, yo, this and that, you know what I mean? I can see why that tweet, and I don't know what went on with that tweet, but even that, I can dust that off. Like, you did a tweet. Okay, whatever. So now I'm definitely going to hit you up. Like, yo, what you want? Because now the problem is now party is involved. We know the baby. We'll get into that a little bit later, but that gets a little bit dangerous at that point.
Yeah. I can see both sides, but I do feel like I can understand why Meg overreacted, but I can understand why she overreacted. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know the truth, but she was shot. I don't know about who, but she did get shot. Like, that's not to be taken lightly. But her first tweet, she said, support me in private and publicly do something different. These industry men are very strange. The situation ain't no damn beef. And I really wish people would stop downplaying it like it's some internet shit for likes and retweets. So I can understand that. Even in the song Ransom song with Royce da 5'9", he actually hinted at it where he said it's crazy that Kylie potentially getting a divorce or getting married is a bigger story than Meg getting shot in the foot. You know what I mean? We see it because we're so disconnected from it, but that's a crazy situation. You know what I mean? For it to still be unresolved, I can understand how there's still some hard feelings there. So I can understand her reaction. But then the baby said, you let these folks get the best of you, thug. I ain't got no bad energy for you. You know, I ain't no industry nigga. Let them fool you into thinking that and you tripping. Stand on what you stand on without feeling like I'm against you. Stay focused, my G. So he kind of took the high road and was like, look, bro, I ain't playing these games. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't let this industry stuff like trick you and get into your head. You know what I mean? It's just social media. Since we're going to take it there, I felt like that was the more mature way of saying it. Like, yo, we still good. It felt like he was talking to her, like, yo, G, stuff like that. I felt like they had some type of rapport, and obviously they've been collaborating for a long time. So I felt like what he did was respectable.
Yeah.
But she said, no, but wait, there's more.
Yeah.
So she said, my stance hasn't changed at all. Yours has. We already spoke about this in private. And you specifically said, that ain't even no good business move. That ain't even no good business move. Why would I promote that shit? But now this ain't your beef. That ain't real. But stay on your business, my G. So now she's getting petty. This is where the pettiness come in. It's like, all right, we talked about this in private. You said you wasn't going to promote it. But now you up here retweeting stuff after you just said that ain't no good business. So what are we doing? Like, your stance is changing. And again, this should have been had, like Kevo said, in a closed door environment. This shouldn't be had on Twitter. Again, if this is something serious and you're saying this ain't for likes and no retweets and this beef stuff, why are you taking it to social media? Why are you taking it then so it can become a story? If this also is a real issue.
Just a side note, I'm allowed to change my stance. I don't really get that. Like, yeah. Oh, your stance. I'm allowed to change my stance. Things happen. Business moves different.
Yeah, but then it's about loyalty. But then it's about loyalty. Like, if somebody shoots you, I'm not going to just be out there with them. Like, they shot you. And if you my mans or you somebody I consider my friend, I'm not going to be moving around with nobody that shot you or potentially shot you or allegedly shot you. You know, after, and I'm assuming we didn't have these conversations behind closed doors. If I was to pop up next to somebody that shot you, allegedly, that's a wild move. I can understand why people could be mad. Understand why people could be, you know, feeling the type of way.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it, the business part, and I get the stuff changing. But when somebody got shot and it's an ongoing case, y'all, this is serious. Like, this is... People have died for these type of things. You know what I mean? So,
True. And
she could have died. Like, depending on if that gun was, if that bullet would have hit somewhere else. You know what I mean? Granted, she got shot in the foot, but that was no saying. You get shot, you're going to make it. So I understand the severity of that allegation. But then he said, you ain't tweeting nothing. You ain't tweeting nothing. I ain't tell that nigga directly. I told him the same shit, laughing out loud. Whoever cleared it, so what? Shit still ain't none of my business for motherfuckers to be feeling some type of way about my pretty chocolate ass. All right, okay, relax, Mike. Getting into that, don't feed my people. So again, I respect him for taking the high road. I felt like she was getting emotional. She was getting sensitive. She was exposing things, you know, behind closed doors. And he was just like, hey, bro, you doing all this extra stuff. I told him this directly, just like we had behind the scenes conversations. Me and Tori had behind the scenes conversation. And if you sitting up here trying to expose me saying I'm not going to promote that shit, I just said the same shit to him. Because he never posted anything on his IG. He never, other than that tweet, he didn't say anything promoting it. So I can understand where the baby coming from too. But like you said, I feel like this is it's kind of petty, but I understand where she coming from and why she could be this emotional about the situation.
And then we got this one. I don't even go back and forth with my own bitches. that's how I started. So I just wanted to let y'all know that's how I started. So I don't even go back and forth with my own bitches on the net. Now I'm on this motherfucker going back and forth with another nigga woman about some shit another nigga accused of. How the fuck that work? Y'all niggas is hell. Happy Juneteenth, though. Love you, man. That's the one. That's the one where baby was like, all right, it's only like, I'm only going to do this. You only going to get a couple from me. We know how the baby is, bro. Like, we really know how the baby is. I don't know why we got to do this with the baby, man. Like, it's crazy because he tries to stay out the way, right? Like, you can see how he's better with his temper. He's better with, you know, fan interactions. He's better on stage with people. He's better in social media with people. You can see him trying to stay out the way. So I'm not trying to paint him as a victim here by any means. I'm just saying he's clearly trying to take this high road, but it eventually stirred up inside him enough where he had to go ahead and post that one out. Party wasn't very happy with that. You niggas is corny. This is from Party, by the way. You niggas is corny. A lot of you women is corny. Any nigga that shoots a woman is pussy. Any nigga that sides with it, condones it, affiliates they self with it, stands besides that type of behavior, is a bitch. Any woman that supports it for any reason is fucking sad. I'm not sure. It's fucking sad, bitter, or confused. So clearly a little bit upset. And then of course, there was a couple more tweets after that, but then of course it ended in the infamous, you must not know about me. You must not know about me. So that's the baby kind of ending that off again. Still pretty much taking the high road, but just kind of let him know, like, hey, don't talk to me like that. Like, I'm not really the one. And this is the part that I don't like. This is why I feel like we should have just squashed it, because I don't know Party like that. I'm not really sure anything about Party, but I wouldn't let nobody talk to my woman in any type of way either. Of course, no matter who it is, even the baby. So, but when they see each other, I know this ain't going to just end here. Like, this is going to go a little bit further, especially, I don't know. Hopefully they never have a chance to see each other, but I'm sure neither one of these gentlemen are happy about this situation. Party, I respected coming to the defense of his woman. But again, I think that this is a little bit petty. I think all of this is just a little bit petty. It could have been avoided. If you would just hit him on the side, a short FaceTime would have been able to, yo, I never supported any of this thing. I never posted anything about it. I never said anything about it. Everything that you're seeing about it is coming from Tori's side. It got cleared. That's fine. It wasn't me who cleared it. It was somebody in my camp that cleared it. You know, whoop-de-woo, whatever actually happened, that could have all been talked out. But now here we are on social media, and that's when shit gets just bigger and bigger and just feels like it never stops until it explodes. And then we talking about a potentially dangerous situation for two people that really don't need to be having this. Like, the baby really don't need this. And I don't know anything about Party, but I'm sure he don't want any type of violence with the baby either, or his team, because we their track record is listed in a lot of different areas on the internet. Like, we see what the baby would do about the beef. He's not, like you said, he is not one of these inner city dudes. He's a real street dude, and he's not afraid to let you know that he's a real street dude in any way that may take shape. So I'm hoping that this could be resolved a little bit peacefully, or maybe it just kind of fades away. But something in me just tell me that's not going to happen.
Yeah, man. This, like you said, this is why these type of things shouldn't be taken to the internet. Cause now you got all these people pouring gas into the fire. Now you got all these outside opinions. Now you got all these people in Party's ear. You got all these people in the Baby ear. You know what I mean? And nobody want to take that L or the hypothetical L or that, you know, that optic of taking an L. And that's why I like rappers. It's a rapper by the name of Mick Jenkins. He had a song called Front Street. And he said, niggas grow until it's time to communicate. Niggas grow until it's time to apologize. Like, everybody want to be a man. Everybody want to be a boss. Everybody want to do that. But when it's time to communicate with one another, when it's time to apologize to one another, then we act childish. And I feel like this is an instance where, again, this, as a prominent rapper, you know, you could say two prominent rappers from Meg Thee Stallion and a Baby, this could have been an example of how to conduct yourself in these type of things. But again, it's just devolved into something that hopefully doesn't spring out of violence, but I got my money on the Baby if it go there, you know what I mean? Just cause it's tried and true, you know, it's documented. And going back to the original tweet, my man got a body. It ain't had to do no jail time, self-defense. So I don't wish nothing like that to happen, but this isn't the route we want to go down, because we've seen this play out too many times. And for all this to happen, it's just more energy going towards the wrong things when they should be focused on trying to promote the songs or try to promote, you know, music and do what they came in the game to do. So.
If I was a betting man, I know where my money would be. That's all I got to say.
Oh, if they did like the YouTube versus TikTok, with the Baby versus Party.
I was a baby.
Baby coming out in a whole diaper and just putting them hands on them, dude. in a diaper. Getting cleaned up by a grown man in a diaper is crazy.
Nah, not the Baby. That's my Baby. I'm dead. All right, man. Well, I think that kind of gets off of that. Onto this sports, man. We got the NBA to talk about. A lot of stuff happened in the NBA. A lot of kind of new for us. But last episode we kind of stopped and we talked for a while and we talked about sports and we decided, hey, let's just make a segment out of it. So here we are. We got, the NBA playoffs. I think we could just keep it there, really. This is great. I mean, this is some of the greatest basketball I'm being seen played, in a while. This is one of my favorite playoffs in a while. It's really wide open to me. I think there's the favorites, obviously, which will have to be after last night's win over the Nets. It will have to be the Bucks and the Suns, most likely. But the Clippers aren't going to lay down. We right now, as we sitting here today, the Hawks and the 76ers are playing the Game 7, which I'm keeping track of right now, 21-20 in the first quarter. So what have you been seeing so far that you like? We'll just start overall, and then we'll get into each individual series, and we can start talking a little bit about that.
Yeah, like I kind of foreshadowed to in the beginning of the show, I just feel like this is a changing of the guard to where this is what the second finals in the past, what, 10, 11 years that won't feature LeBron James or Steph Curry or something like that. So it's, you don't have your usual suspects to where it's okay. Now we're forced to look at the remaining stars around the league, and it kind of puts into a microscope. Okay. Well, Giannis is coming off of back-to-back MVPs, but he always crumbles in the playoffs. And then Kevin Durant put together this super team. It's supposed to just be a clear path to the finals, but then people get injured. And, you know, you got Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, they've fallen apart, but as soon as he get injured, you know, they beat the best team in the league. So it's putting a spotlight on the new age to where I feel like the stars of each, you know, series are the young ones. You know, I'm hoping, and again, like Kevo said, this is being recorded in the midst of the 76ers Atlanta Hawks series, but Trae Young is still in the show in that series. You know, hopefully they get beat, but Trae Young is emerging as a bona fide star. We talk about the Phoenix Suns, Booker and Ayton, they are submitting themselves as a crazy duo with the leadership of Chris Paul. He was out for COVID protocols, but once he get back, like, that's a crazy team. We look at, you know, again, the Bucks and them again fizzling out in all of the series. And it's like, all right, Giannis, what are you going to do? You were supposed to be the heir apparent. So you were supposed to be the person that LeBron passed the torch to. What you going to do? And he went up against, you know, the Monstars? What's the Space Jam when they took all the powers? Yeah, like he went up against the Monstars. And then although they got injured, beat him in the game seven in an amazing, amazing game. So I feel like this is the time of the younger stars, and this is the changing of the guard. And it's dope to see the emerging young players in the league come out, show out. And then a lot of them, this is their first playoff series, and this is the deepest they ever been in the playoff. And they're handling the pressure a lot better than I would expect. So this definitely is just reinvigorated the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, when you look around who we have left, there's only one star that's won a championship or just been to a championship, and that's Kawhi Leonard, and he's injured. Everybody else is left maybe some of them have had deep playoff runs, but not many of them. You can say Chris Paul, he's had deep, you know, playoff runs, but if you just look at the stars around the league, obviously there's some veteran players here and there that's probably, you know, won some championships or been to a championship, you know, on a different squad. But if you just look at the stars, the meat and bones of all the teams that's left in there, nobody's got really any championship experience outside of Kawhi Leonard. He's the only one. His running mate, Paul George, has never even sniffed one. So it's really interesting to see. That's why I'm saying, that's why I think it's really wide open. I think that veteran players are still kind of holding teams together. I think you're showing that. That series without KD would have been, you know, if KD would have got injured, and I don't know, that team is terrible, right? But I do want to talk. Let's start with that series, actually, with Giannis, because I think he should get credit. I think he should get a lot of credit, because what he did wasn't nothing to poo-poo at. I just want to read his series real quick, just the points and the rebounds, I will. Game one, he had 34 and 11. Game two, he had 18 and 11. That's the worst game of the series. Then he came back. He had 33 and 14. Followed that up 34-12. Followed it up 34-12. Followed it up 30-17. And then he ended it with 40-13. That's nothing to poo-poo. Like, that's the same. At the same time he's doing that, he's literally neutralizing KD's points in most of those games. Without him on the floor, there's really, this is not a matchup. So yeah, you can say what he doesn't do, but what he does do, he does it very well and very consistently. Like, we had our friend in Travis in the chat said he's inconsistent. I'm like, not really at all. He's very consistent. He does the same thing every night. He's giving you 30 in double-digit rebounds. And he's going to play some defense. He's going to grab a couple blocks. He's going to get a couple steals. He's going to play hard. He's energy. What you want him to do that has nothing to do with how he plays. He can't do that. He can't shoot the three. He can't shoot free throws. It's just part of his game right now. If it's something he can work on, maybe, yeah. But he made it to two MVPs playing like this. Now, whether or not that works in the playoffs, we've yet to see. But it got him past KD. It got him past the Nets. That has to stand for something. So give Giannis a lot of credit, man. And even in that game seven, his running mates were not doing that well. I mean, let me see what their stats were in that game. But they were not very good. One second. Let's see. All right. So Drew ended up with 13 points. He was 5 for 23. 2 for 9 from three. Chris Middleton ended up with 23, which looks good, but he was 9 of 26 and 2 for 7 for three. Where was the points coming from? Giannis. That's it. That's the bench had 9 points. That's it. So they don't win this game at all if not for Giannis. So give it a lot of credit to him. He is a bona fide superstar. He deserved those two MVPs. And I'm just kind of sick of the slander at this point.
Yeah, and I think this series or this playoffs, I think it kind of, and I hate to bring it back to LeBron when he's not in a part of the conversation, but it kind of lets you know how much pressure LeBron really was under, to the point where it's like, this is a team sport, but win or lose, everything is going to fall on a star. You know, we look at, okay, the Nets lost, but really it's Kevin Durant that lost. Not taking into account, he had 48 points. You know, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, but he was doing everything, hit a game tying shot, almost was a game winning if his foot wasn't on the line at the very end of sending direct OT. At the end of the day, he lost, and we put that on KD for everything. But I really think that this series and these playoffs show us that role players matter, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, Black Lives Matter, role players matter. And in a playoff series, and I think this is where Giannis always struggled, when you're playing the same team night after night, the opposing coach can game plan and they can figure out a way to neutralize you. And they kind of make the role players have to step up. And under them lights, if you don't have the correct role players, then you're going to fold under pressure. Because there's no way of stopping Giannis from getting his 13 or 30 points and 10 to 15 rebounds. Maybe that 30 could turn into 40. But it's what the supporting cast is going to do that's going to help elevate and make the difference between the two teams. To the point where I believe the bench, only one person on the bench from the Bucks scored, but it was 9 points. And I don't think anybody from the Brooklyn bench scored. So it's like, that's the difference. I mean, you got KD playing damn near the whole game and to the point where he has a chance at a last second shot, but he's so tired that he airballs it. That lets you know that he's doing too much. Similar to when we look at LeBron, it's like he has too much on the shoulder. He needs good role players. And everybody, when he doesn't have them, look at LeBron. Oh, he's complaining. He needs all this help. He does all this. Well, KD gutted a great Brooklyn team. This was a playoff team last year without him. With the hurt Kyrie, it was a great team because of the role players, because of the chemistry of the team. He took that, gutted it to get another superstar. And then when injuries happen, realized he didn't have the help around him. He's now relying on Blake Griffin to be a second option to or a third option to a hurt James Harden. You know, then he's looking at Brown, he's looking at Harris, and these people that aren't used to carrying a team and aren't used to stepping up in these moments, to where you have a great team in Milwaukee, where you have Jrue Holiday, a proven defensive leader and a proven scorer. Chris Middleton, an improving person that kind of takes the load off, to where now he has another scorer in Jrue Holiday, and he has the scoring ability of Giannis to where he can find his spots. You have Brooke Lopez, the center, stepping up, actually hitting three-pointers, actually making shots, scoring 19 and getting rebounds as well. This is where a good team is better than a good superstar.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. So I see why after this series, why I kind of don't want to say I hate, but I don't really like KD's career choice or his career path, if you would. And the reason why is because when you're as good as he is, it should be a little difficult. You know what I mean? It should be a little difficult for you to get to where you're going, where you're trying to go, where you're ultimately trying to go, which is the championship. When you stack the deck to the degree that he has in his last two stops, as far as Golden State and here with the Nets, it seems a little bit unfair, man. We don't get to see the greatness because it doesn't seem that difficult for you. Cause we know if you don't go off, your boy gonna go off. We know if your boy don't go off, the other boy gonna go off. It gets too crazy at that point. And it's just too much. You look at Golden State, it feels like it was even worse with two of the greatest shooters of all time, two of the greatest shooters in the league. So then you add you, now you have three of the best shooters in the league on one squad. And y'all want to talk about it's unfair to hope that he wins this series. It wasn't unfair at all to me. I think that the Bucks is probably better than a lot of other teams that people will probably compare this type of situation to. If you look at LeBron going and taking those teams to 07, 2015, 2018, taking those teams to the finals. Yeah, I don't think LeBron played a team as good as the Bucks in those series, but he won some games against teams that he shouldn't have. He won some games against Golden State when he shouldn't have. He, like, the greatness of that one player can get you a game or two. So at that time when James Harden and Kyrie went down, I don't think it was unfair to say that KD should probably win a game or two, and he did. He did. He took it. He that game was an all time great performance that he had in game six or game five. It was an all time great performance. I think it might be one of the best performances I ever watched just in person. Especially when you just look at how he was scoring, and I think he had almost 49 on 23 shots. Like it's a ridiculous amount of points for the efficiency that he had. So yeah, I understand. I understand why people are upset, because again, it should be a little bit. This is how it should look. It should look about two superstars, because that's what everybody had. And I understand that the three will win you a championship, but what happens when everybody has two? No one else in the league has a big three. Just look around. No one else in the league has a big three. Everybody has two superstars. Kawhi and PG. LeBron and AD, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Maybe you can say Aiden, but he's still a growing star. Just look around the league. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. Like, some don't even have a two. You got Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell. I mean, not Donovan Mitchell, but Luka. Some only got one. They can't find a two. And here you go getting having three, and you're the greatest player on earth right now. Why, bro? Like, just go with the two, right? You just like, and I know it's not his decision. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? I know it's not his decision to say, okay, we, you know, James Harden, let's trade for James Harden, not trade for James. That has nothing to do with him in reality, but it just feels a little bit unfair when you look at the rest of the league. And that's kind of what turns me off to KD and his kind of career choices.
Yeah, again, if you had that bench, if you had those role players, if you had a Caris LeVert, if you had a Jared Allen, some people that can neutralize Giannis a little bit, if you had those people that could, you know, step up, maybe this series would win a little different. But, you know, it didn't. Shout out to the Bucks for, you know, pulling that through. And shout out to Giannis making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Hopefully, you know, it's a good series. Hopefully when they play the Sixers. Because I'm speaking into existence, the Sixers are going to win tonight. I hope so. Yeah.
Let's just briefly talk about that real quick. We could just end it there. But as it currently stands at the end of the first quarter, we got 28 Sixers to 25. Or no. Oh, actually, it's in the second quarter now. So 28 Sixers, 33 Atlanta right now, 9 minutes left in the second quarter. So how do you first? I mean, what's happening right now to the 76ers? Because if you look at the team, the 76ers are better than the Atlanta Hawks, without question, in my opinion. So what is happening right now, in your opinion, is why is it taking it so long to dust them off? We're now at the seventh game. Why is it taking this long?
I think Joel Embiid being injured is a critical factor, because our scoring comes from Joel Embiid. And we ride with him. So everything starts and ends with him. His ability to get to the basket, his ability to get hot, gets other people open. That's why the team is constructed as Joel Embiid and a bunch of shooters. And then you got Ben Simmons, who can't create a shot, becomes a liability if he's not guarding the best player. So I think that with Joel being hurt and then Ben Simmons not being able to create his own shot and Tobias Harris being inconsistent, you go in and get somebody like Atlanta who gets streaky, you know, because, and this is what, to your point, the benefit of not having those stars is that everybody can feel comfortable and excel in their role. We all know Trae Young, but he doesn't need a lot. And because he's a distributor, he can go and get you 40 points, but can also get you 18 assists to the point where he can create his own shot. But you get so worried about his shot because he's a primary ball handler. He's going to find somebody open in a three. He's good at his primary game is the floater. So you got to guard the floater, but then you got Clint Capella or Phil Collins driving to the basket. Now that floater just turned into an alley-oop. You know what I mean? So with the injured Embiid, we don't have scorers and shooters and people that can create their own shot. Like Seth Curry, he's stepping up because he's showing that he can create his own shot. But Ben Simmons can't. And then when you got Ben Simmons and Embiid in the game, they both like drive to the basket. So they both can't be doing the same thing. So Ben Simmons has to play the perimeter, but he has no perimeter game. So it's like, he's just a liability. And Tobias Harris, he's getting paid like a superstar. He's getting paid 30 million plus, but then he'll have games where he scores 4 points. You know what I'm saying? And then Doc Rivers, who's historically known for burning out in the playoffs and letting a large lead collapse. I think we had like the third largest lead lost in a playoff series, so where we were up 25 one game, 26 in another game, and then we lost both those games because Doc Rivers is being outcoached and he's playing too hard in the beginning, and then they get burnt out and we're unable to stop the run. So hopefully he proved that he can get past that with the last game, and hopefully he's able to do that tonight. But it's you know, I think it's tougher than it needs to be, but they kind of need to get the ball rolling, especially to go up against a Milwaukee team coming off that series.
And that's my issue. So let's talk about the scenario in case they win. Here's my issue with the 76ers. The problems that they have this year are the same problems that they had last year. And it feels like nothing has been, you know, addressed about it. And the problem is that you can't really address Joel Embiid run out of gas. He can't make it through a full playoff run. That's just, I mean, that's just the whether it be physically, like he's just, you know, because he looks tired in the second half of games. He literally looks tired. Like, it's the injuries are one thing, but him just looking out of gas in the second half of games, starting in what I think was game five, where I feel like he really looked out of gas. But I don't know how you address that, right? The problems that y'all have, I don't know how you address it. You got that going on with him. Ben Simmons is a complete liability on the offensive end. I don't know how you address that. He's literally worse than Giannis, because at least Giannis he'll go to the free throw line about 15 times. Like, he don't care. Like, I don't care if I'm missing it. I'll shoot about six threes. I don't care. Two of them bitches gonna backboard off and go in. Like, we gonna at least try. I'm gonna get 30 though. Ben Simmons is scared to even take a shot. And shooting from the perimeter is completely a no-go for him. He can't do it at all. He won't do it at all. Then he won't drive to the lane because if he get fouled, now he's on the free throw line. He got to stand there with all them demons. So I don't know how you address that. Tobias Harris, he's great in the regular season. Great in the regular season. Playoffs, I don't know what's happening to him. I don't, like 4 points, I don't see that, how you can score 4 points. You're a 20 points a game type scorer. So I don't see how you can address these issues. Doc Rivers is supposed to come in and address these issues, but right now he looking like he can blow a lead better than anybody. Like, that's just kind of the truth of the matter. He can blow leads like no other. It's literally laughable at this point. So, and we all love Doc. We got respect for Doc, but, and this is not to eat up the 76ers, just saying, I beg the question, win or lose. Let's go with lose first. What do y'all do? Like, where do y'all go? It can't be these players. It's not these three. It's got to be somebody else. So Ben Simmons goes where? Because he would be the one that has to go.
Yeah, I saw some speculation about trading him for Bradley Beal. I saw some about trading him to the Warriors for Andrew Wiggins and some draft picks, maybe even Wiseman. Saw something about possibly Westbrook, and now Kemba Walker is on the market with a huge contract. So maybe that could be a thing. And yeah, maybe they
send him to OKC. I don't think he'll play a game with OKC either.
Yeah, because they got 70,000 draft picks and they just trying to.
I don't think he'll play a game. I think they'll just buy him out.
So hopefully one of those. But win or lose, I think Ben Simmons has to go. I think at this day and age, we're in a shooter's league, and for you not to have any shot and then you still can't even hit free throws, I don't care if you all NBA on defense. If you go, you can't even score 10 points. You're not worth that $30 million a year contract. In my eyes, it's just not worth it. So I feel like win or lose, he has to go. That has been exposed. We already have 17 guards. Like, we got George Hill, we got Maxey, we got Shake Milton. Like, we don't need any more guards. We're good on guards. So we can definitely trade him and get another consistent shooter. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I think the last problem I see, though, is Tobias Harris being paid like a superstar, but playing in the playoffs like a average role player. So that probably is an issue. But, I mean, I'm hoping the best for 76. I just don't see, even with this win, I don't see how y'all get past the Bucks. Like,
we match up well with the Bucks, though.
Healthy, y'all do.
Yeah.
Healthy, y'all do. But this is just another game tonight. And then you're telling me Joel Embiid is going to have to go back, fly. I'm thinking Bucks is Bucks a higher seed than y'all? I'm not exactly.
No, we the number one seed.
Oh, okay. So y'all can stay home. So y'all, at least y'all don't have to travel. So then the Bucks come home, come to y'all house. And I'm taking Giannis in that matchup to eat up. I'm really am. I don't really see how you. I don't see how Embiid's going to do it, man. He looks exhausted.
Hey, man. Six is in four.
Six. Suns in four. That's the greatest clip of all time, though. It's the greatest clip to come out of a playoff series. Like, Suns in four, bro. All right. Oh, and shout out to Devin Booker, 40-point triple double tonight. That was crazy, crazy game from him with CP3 out due to COVID protocols. 40-point trip dub, dog. It made it look easy on him. Made it look easy out there.
First of his career.
I think it's crazy how seamlessly he took over the point guard position. Like, at the end of that game, it was all, give me the ball, screen, I'm going to find me open passer, or I'm going to go to the rack, or I'm going to just shoot over somebody's head. And it looked good. It looked really good. I mean, yeah.
It kind of make what LeBron did and more impressive because they got two games on him.
That's what I'm saying. That team is really
they
good.
They steamrolling everybody, yeah.
That team is really, really good. And the crazy thing about that, I think a healthy AD and a healthy LeBron probably beats that team.
They was up. Was it 2-1?
2-1. I think a healthy LeBron, healthy AD probably beats that team. So, yeah, that's it. I think the Suns is going to win it. I think the Suns are probably going to win it. And I am all the way here for it. I'm all the way here for CP3 getting the shift. That'll make me really smile. Like, that's a good one. So, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, 76ers. I'm sorry. Shout out to Philly, man.
Sixes and seven.
All right, man. Let's get to these spot TV showers, man. For the baby come at your neck.
There, bro. You must not know Bobby.
I can go ahead and start with mine. Mine is short, and of course, why wouldn't it be? And who else would it be? But shout out to all the fathers. Shout out to all the Travis. Shout out to Brandon. Shout out to Kenny. Shout out to who else? Who else we got? Who else we got? Who am I missing?
Chad, Young Sprinkle.
Young Sprinkle. Shout out to Sprinkle, dog. Just listen to all of our friends just trying to get us to Sprinkle. But shout out to all of our friends. Man.
Hatchet. The Hatchets. They just had their baby.
Just had one. I don't want to miss nobody now.
Young Black Man Joffin, Young Brent. Shout out to Brent.
Shout out to Brent.
Shout out to my dog Oliver, or CEO, former guest on the podcast.
Out to EP from the hometown. I can't think of any more. But shout out to all the fathers. Shout out to all the people that we know personally, professionally. Shout out to all the dads, man. It's a tough job. I know it. I can see it every day. And what I want to say is all y'all that I just mentioned, y'all make me like fatherhood. Y'all make me want that for myself because y'all make it look so cool. Y'all make it look like, man, that look like something that I can't wait to have. Y'all having fun. Y'all being good dads, man. Shout out to y'all, man. Shout out to all the fathers out here.
Yeah, I was going to try to go like contrary or whatever, but same, man. This something, this monumental, something that, this is what we need, to be completely honest. So to see all the good fathers out there, especially in the Black community, man, it is our generation's job to kind of break some of these generational curses. And it's our job to repair some of the damage that was done in our community. And it starts in the household. So shout out to the dads, man. Shout out to fathers that are actually in the household, actually taking care of their kids. And for those that aren't, that are actually making an effort to be in their children's life, because it does make a difference. Barack Obama was quoted as saying that we all know the statistics. The children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. So the difference that you're making is real. And if we want to improve as a community, it's bigger than just marching, it's bigger than just, you know, claiming things and pointing a finger and say systemic oppression and racism. It all starts in the household. And if you can be there as a dad to set the example and, you know, change the viewpoint of what it takes to be a man, or even set the standard of what it takes to be a man and be a good example for that, man. Salute to all of you. So shout out to everybody we know, everybody that is dad out there listening. We appreciate you and everything that you do.
Oh yeah, bro. They make that shit look so good. They make father look good out there, man. That look fun. I need me some of that. Hey, if y'all need me, y'all need a stepdad out here, hit my line, man. Hit my line.
Hey man, stepdad and foe.
shout out to them day as well. You know what I'm talking about. If you got them day in your bio, bro, I want you to jump off of something, bro. Like I want you to rethink I want you to rethink right, a lot see, of things.
See,
I want you to rethink on, a lot of things.
We was on a good vibe. Nah, we was on bro. A good vibe.
It's been bothering me
if
for
you
a
identify
while,
as a father, shout out to you.
If you identify as a used napkin, shout out to you, bro. You really hold it down. We really needed that. Man.
Her about to identify as a jellyfish, but if you identify as a father, dad, or caretaker, man, thank you for your service.
Thank you for Father's Day, bro. If you're a single mother out here, okay, no, let me not go too far. No,
yeah, relax, though. Let we me. Got new teeth, dog. It's not the vibes. It's not the vibes. Right,
we appreciate y'all tuning in. Kid, you got any closing statements, man?
Man, whatever your pronoun is, whatever your which identification is, if you identify as Black, white, Asian, Puerto Rican, we appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, man. Shout out to them day, man. Have a good one.
All right, bye. No, I'm cutting this hard now. We said something crazy.